Ephesians chapter 5, let's all stand together. Let me read beginning in verse 8. Verse 8. For ye were, notice, sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame, notice these verses now, I'm not preaching on these verses, but you should listen. It is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. We should not even speak of those things. Can I say this to you while I'm on this topic, this thought? We should certainly not speak of them among other Christians at church. Okay? Amen. Our conversation ought to be discreet and holy and, well, circumspect. We shouldn't even speak of those things done of them. Okay? I don't like people who stand up here and give testimonies of salvation that are filled with details of their sin. Yeah. That doesn't glorify God, and that doesn't make me feel like, wow, what a wonderful Christian you are. No, that just makes everybody else's mind start thinking about those things. Because we are, by nature, we are carnal. Our heart is deceitful above all things, and what desperately wicked. So, I'm not one of those guys that stands up here and talks about all the sin I was involved in before I got saved. And I guess I need to apologize for some people that do, but that doesn't glorify God. In verse 13, in all things that are reproved, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. That for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, there's so much preaching in these. I'm getting down to verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Let me preach to you tonight, and this is going to be one of those Wednesday night series on the blessings of being filled. The blessings of being filled. Let's pray. Father, I want to be a help. Obviously, I want to talk about the blessings, Lord, that are available to your children. I want to talk about the blessings, Father, that we have at our fingertips, Father, because of your grace, because of your salvation, because of our Redeemer and his shed blood for our souls. So, Lord, I pray you'd help me to be filled with that Spirit tonight, even as I stand here. I pray you'd keep your hand on my voice, on my throat, that you'd help me, Lord, to say what needs to be said, nothing more and nothing less. Please keep our eyes open tonight. Keep our ears open and our hearts alert and attentive. And God, may we yield ourselves to Thee with everything that You say to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Every believer, every Christian, every saved man is given the Holy Spirit at salvation. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. Ephesians 1, verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom, in Christ, ye also trusted. After that, you heard the word of truth. There again, that's why it's so important that we use the word of God if they're going to get saved. The word of truth. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, in Christ. Also, after that, ye believed. Notice, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. The earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. That redemption of the purchased possession, that is, and folks, that's the rapture, amen? And that's the rapture where the dead in Christ will rise first. And if you pass away before the rapture, don't worry, you'll still get to see it. Amen, because you'll rise first. Amen. Don't worry, you're not going to miss the rapture, amen. The Christians, all saints, all over the world, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are going to rise with us if we're already gone. But I'm looking forward to that day. But listen, until that day, when I got saved on May 13th, 2004, God gave me and sealed me and indwelt me with His Holy Spirit. And that's proof that now I belong to Him. Amen.
Amen.
Look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. There it is again. Okay, now, those things are proof. Now, I just want just to lay in some foundation here. The only righteousness in me is the righteous Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. The only righteousness in a believer is the Holy Spirit of God. That's the only way anyone can be saved. I don't care what church you go to. I don't care what church you came from. I don't care what church you're going to go to next week after I make you mad. You can't be saved without the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. That's the only way you're ever going to be saved. And listen, the Holy Spirit is as much God as God is God.
Amen.
Once a person is sealed with the Spirit, however, watch me now. That person, no matter how saved they are, they're saved, right? But they're not automatically and certainly not forever filled with that Holy Spirit.
Right.
Some think to be filled means that you have all of God. Well, let me say something to you real quick just to clarify something here. You can't have all of God because God's omnipresent, and if you had all of Him, He wouldn't and couldn't be anywhere else. Okay, but people talk about I want to have all of the Holy Spirit. I know what they mean by that, but they're saying it all wrong. We do as believers, however, we have in us, once we're saved, we have that Holy Spirit of promise, and He's as much God as God is. So therefore, in me, I have all the character qualities of God.
Right.
I have all the attributes of God. I have all the nature of God. In me. Now, you have that same nature as a believer. No matter how old or young you were when you got saved, God gives us His Holy Spirit at the day of salvation when we trust Christ, as we just read, and it's there until the day of redemption, till we get to heaven. And listen, there's nothing that can take the Holy Spirit away, but that doesn't mean you're filled with the Spirit.
Right.
To be filled with the Spirit really includes two steps. Two steps. Now, this is just introduction, but you can go ahead and scribble it down if you want to. I'm going to be going over this a lot. This is just introduction, but I'm going to say it this way. And praying and pouring. Praying and pouring. Now, if you think about being filled, feeling something, F-I-L-L. This is a glass. I don't know if you can see it. This is a glass, and it's got water in it. Now, it's also got some air in it from there to there. So it's not really full of either. Right? Now, it's more full of water than it is air. And I'm about ready to die to drink this thing, and then it's going to be more full of air than it is water. So, but what I'm saying to you is to be full of something, really filled, it means to be completely full to the top, to the brim, overflowing, if you will, even, to be complete. So, in other words, for me to be filled with something, I've got to be empty of everything else. Right? So the first step that I was talking to you about is, I believe, accomplishing the emptying part of this process of being filled is prayer. Well, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on these because I want to get to the blessings of being filled, but I feel like I got to at least explain a little bit about how to be filled before I can talk about the blessings. So, emptied of myself, emptied of all that's in me that's not of God through prayer. Much prayer. Prayer without ceasing. I believe that's why the Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. Listen to me while I'm saying this. Prayer is really a continual sacrifice of myself unto God. When I pray, go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves. Now, presenting yourselves, that means you're offering up yourself. You present yourselves a what? A living sacrifice. That is a picture, my friends, beloved in Christ, of prayer. You offer up yourself a living sacrifice. Now, where did sacrifices get offered up on? Altars. That's why we talk about this being old-fashioned altar. That's why we talk about making yourself an altar at home somewhere. Do you have an altar? Do you have a place where you go offer up yourself unto God? A living sacrifice. Holy. Acceptable. Holy and acceptable. Now listen, the only thing holy in this world is God.
Right.
Really holy, which means completely pure, without sin, sinlessly undefiled and perfect. That's God. Only God, and that's His Holy Spirit in me, right?
Yeah.
That's the Holy Spirit. That's why we call Him the Holy Spirit. So if I'm offering up myself a living sacrifice, holy, which is, by the way, the next word, acceptable. Really, the only thing that God accepts in heaven is holiness. That's why you and me can't go without the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I'm about ready to have a fit down here. But anyway, but until I get there, I need to offer up myself a living sacrifice, present myself a living sacrifice. And like I said, the altar, not just the altar here of prayer, but in my house, where I pray without ceasing. I have an altar that I go to, and I spend time with God in prayer. I spend time with God in prayer, in purpose prayer, and in private prayer, in secret prayer, in prayer that gives me power. And that prayer, listen to me, that prayer is the biggest part of being emptied of all myself. Because listen, I'm offering up myself a living sacrifice, which is holy. There's nothing in me that's holy. So I'm emptying myself of all of me, and I'm asking God, then fill me with your holiness.
Amen.
Fill me with your Spirit. So prayer is the first part of being filled, to empty myself. Look over in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Jesus, in His loving, kind manner, He says, "If ye then be an evil," see, y'all don't think Jesus ever did anything that offended people, but He called them evil right there. He said, "Your disciples, you know, y'all are evil." Jesus, I'm going to go find another church. Well, I'm not stuck on that tonight or anything, but anyway. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more," aren't you glad God is a much more God? "How much more shall your heavenly Father," amen, "give the Holy Spirit to them that" what? "Ask Him." Hey, how are we going to ask God in prayer?
Yeah.
So see, prayer is the first step here. Go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Verse 31. I'll get over there in a minute. My fingers are stuck and my pages are stuck. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. The apostles here, the men of God, after Jesus had been resurrected, reascended, now they're preaching there in the ministry. "When they had prayed," in verse 31, "the place was shaken where they were assembled together," amen, because that's what Christians do. They assemble themselves together. Now, I'm sick and tired of everybody telling me, "I don't have to go to church." No, you don't have to go to church to go to heaven, but you do have to go to church to be right with God. And then they were, when the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, they were filled. That says, when they had prayed. That means after they got done praying, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They spake the word of God with boldness. By the way, they didn't speak a bunch of mumbo jumbo gibberish. They spoke what? The word of God. Amen. So, we're talking about being filled with the Spirit, and the first thing is praying, which is emptying myself out, emptying all of me out, and presenting myself unto God, and asking Him to fill me with His Spirit, fill me with His holiness, fill me with Himself, so that I can, and God, get rid of all of me. By the way, all of me just gets in the way.
Right.
All of me just gets in the way, and so do you. You know that. You know what I'm talking about. So, but I said praying. That's the first step. Praying, and then I said pouring. Pouring. Now, pouring Now this water is going to represent the Holy Spirit. Boy, I feel better. I've been wanting to do that for 10 minutes. But now I've just poured. That water is just as much water as it was, but now it's
right
in here. Folks, go back to our text, if you will, back to Ephesians there. Ephesians 5. Again, look at verse 18. Be not drunk with wine. Again, I don't want to overcomplicate this particular part of the message. This is just introduction. But our text verse here, it speaks of being drunk with wine. After one drink of that water, now I didn't stop there because I was thirsty, but after one drink of that water, I have all of the attributes of that water in me, right? After one drink of wine, I have all the intoxicating attributes of that wine in me. It's all in there. It's in one drink. But see, what I'm trying to get you to understand here is the more I put on the inside, the more it begins to show on the outside. If I'd ever drank water, especially in this Texas heat, you would see on the outside that my cheeks would start to get sunk in. My body would begin to be very frail. I would get dehydrated. I would begin to be faint and even pass out. You would see effects on the outside of not putting this water on the inside. Now, of course, I'm not going into details about being drunk because we don't speak of those things. And amen. But the basics is simply this here. In a very similar way, when an alcoholic puts in that wine, and the one drink of it, you really don't know it, but the more he puts in there, it begins to show on the outside. Okay? It begins to show on the outside. You children, don't you ever worry about it. Don't you ever worry about ever trying it. Don't you ever even think about trying it. It's evil, it's poison, it's wicked, and that's another message. But listen, but in a very similar way, when I get saved, I have all of God in me. I have all of His attributes in me. But listen, I can keep pouring more and more in me so that it will begin to show on the outside.
Amen.
You see how that works? So what am I talking about here, preacher? What are you talking about here? How can I pour the Holy Spirit? Okay, I'm glad you asked. What I'm talking about here is the Word of God.
Right.
I need to fill myself with the Word of God like a drunkard fills himself with liquor. That's what that verse means. That's what that verse means. I may not understand it all. And here's what, well, preacher, I just don't understand it all. I may not understand it all, but I know it's the Word of God.
Right.
I know it's the power of God.
Yep.
I know it's the mind of God.
Right.
I know it's the very Son of God in written form. I know it's the holiness of God. I know it's the sword of the Spirit. I know it's the very presence of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That is God.
Amen.
And so obviously, I need more of Him in me. I need to feel myself, and the more that's in me, the more that will begin to show on the outside.
Right.
The more that's in me, the more that will begin to show, and other people will begin to see. Listen, here Christians mainly, not especially young Christians, they say, "Preacher, I don't understand the Bible. Can I just get this version or that version?" And of course, you know my answer. No, because that's not the Word of God.
Right.
And so it's not going to do anything like the Word of God does. Now, do you think a drunkard stops and says, "Now, wait a minute. I don't understand how come this makes me drunk. I'm not going to drink it anymore. I don't understand how come this makes me hallucinate and stagger and stammer and stupid. so I'm not going to drink it anymore. No, he doesn't do that. I don't understand how this water keeps me from dehydrating. I really don't understand how come this water is so delicious. Will you go get me some more? But listen, you know what? I know one thing is my body craves it. I need it. Without it, I perish. So therefore, I pour it in. It's an excuse, folks, to say I don't understand it. It really is. Let me back up for a minute here and say this. I'm not being mean because I don't even understand it all, and neither do you. None of you do.
Right.
Not every bit of it.
Yeah.
But I want you to understand this. Understand this. Start here. Understand this. That I simply need to fill myself with it and let what it contains do the rest. After all, that's what we're talking about. As far as the Bible goes, I don't understand it all. I don't understand, and I never will, because it's so far above me. It's so, his thoughts are so far higher than my thoughts. His word is so much more powerful and bigger. He's so much bigger than I am. And so I don't need to figure it all out. But listen, but as I pour it in, as I continue to pour it in, I'll figure out what it means as I grow. I'll figure out more about what it means as I stay in church under the preaching and the teaching. Go to Acts chapter 8. Go to Acts chapter 8. Verse 30. Most times, when you say you don't understand it, it's really an excuse that you just think you need to do something else instead. Or you just don't have the time, you think. Or you don't... The fact is, though, if you'll simply... That's why we have question and answer time on Sunday nights. And I've answered every single one that's come through here. And I've got more, and I'm going to answer it Sunday. And the fact... I want... Listen, it's okay to not understand something, but I want you to treat it right, properly. Don't just quit reading your Bible because you don't understand it.
Right.
That's not the right answer. Acts chapter 8, verse 30. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" So wait a minute. Philip's the preacher, and this Ethiopian eunuch is reading the Bible. He's reading the Old Testament major prophet Isaiah. How many of you ever read that book? No, it's all okay. The rest of you, you still haven't read that book, huh? How many of you have read that book and said, huh? Come on, okay. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, so the preacher comes to the man who's, by the way, not even saved yet. But he's coming from church in Jerusalem, and he's reading the Bible. So he's doing what he's supposed to do. He's doing what he needs to do. But the question is plain as day. Do you understand? Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, of course I do, dummy. Don't you know I'm the servant to the queen of Ethiopia? Don't you know that who I am? No, he says, how can I?
Yeah.
Except some?
Man.
What?
Man.
So... Some man should guide me.
Right.
You know, listen, there comes a point in time where you just have to humble yourself and realize I might need some help to understand this.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You don't think I've ever gone to Brother Ogden in the days past and then still do? You don't think I ever read after other men that have written books about the Bible? You don't think I go to God in prayer and say, Lord, I don't understand this? Of course I do. Of course I do. Nearly every day. Because if you're in the Bible, that's what you will be doing. Your head, your mind, your heart, you'll be filled with that word. But you will run into something. It'll be like, okay, Lord, I can't go any further than this because I don't understand this. But the preacher said to him, do you understand? And he was very honest. He said, I can't. I need some man to guide me. And he desired Philip. He wanted the preacher to come up and sit with him. Wow, what a blessing.
Amen.
Preacher, will you come over to my house and help me understand the Bible? I don't think I've ever had a phone call like that.
Right.
No, we'll get three tomorrow, probably. But I've never had a phone call like that. Go back to Nehemiah chapter 8. Oh, now, see? Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms. Ezra, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. So they read. I'll give you a minute. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly. That means they read it word for word like we do today. We don't paraphrase unless we're just, but we know what it says if we need to go to the word of God. And they gave, notice, they gave the sense. What does that mean? That means they gave the meaning and caused them to understand the reading. Who did? Well, the priest, the preacher, the men that were educated in the Bible. They were helping the people that were hearing the Bible. They were giving them the sense. That's what I'm doing right now. I read it distinctly like I do every time before we start preaching. By the way, you young preachers, don't ever start a message without the Bible. Because that's where it needs to come from. It don't come from there. Sit down and shut your mouth because nobody cares about what you think.
Right.
Amen. Okay. Preach the Bible. But we read it distinctly. And then we give the sense. We say, okay, this is what the Bible means. And so, and then hopefully, by the grace of God, hopefully, you will understand what it means by the end of the message. That's the idea. Okay? But listen, it takes you admitting, I don't understand this, and it takes someone else being willing to help you. But so, to say I just don't understand it, preacher, I give up, I'm not going to read it anymore, that's not the right answer.
Right.
Can I tell you, that's one of the main reasons God gives you a church.
Amen?
Amen. Because the Bible tells us many times it in different places, but it tells me as a preacher that I'm to feed the flock of God. I'm not feeding you grass. I'm not feeding you hay. I'm feeding you the Word of God. I'm taking it and I'm reading it and I'm giving you the sense and help you understand it. Why? Because then you're taking it, receiving it, and you're digesting it spiritually. And you know what it's doing? It's going in you to add to that what you've already poured in throughout the week.
Amen.
What you've already poured in throughout the week, and this is just coming in there to give it some sense, make some sense out of it.
Amen.
Are y'all listening to me? Okay? So there's a reason that God gives you a preacher. There's a reason, by the way, God gives you a Sunday school teacher. Listen, it's all in place for one thing, so that we can have greater understanding, greater knowledge, greater wisdom from God's Word. That's all it's about. God help us with all of these churches that do nothing but tell a bunch of stories. What good is that?
Right.
And they have little skits up on the. They don't build platforms. They build stages.
Yeah.
This is not a stage. This is a platform, by the way. They built stages, and then they put rock and roll drums and bands and guitars, and they put spotlights, and they put disco balls, and they put all kinds of whirly birds and all. And why? It's because it's a bunch of entertainment. What does God's people need? The Word of God. That's what they need. That's what we need. We need the Word of God. We need to pour it in, and then we need to let someone else help us make sense out of it. It's nothing new, but it sure is important. Go over to John chapter 7. You say, preacher, I don't understand it, so I just kind of quit reading it. Okay. Again, I hope you're listening because I'm trying to tell you that that's not the right answer. John chapter 7, verse 17. I don't understand it, so I quit reading it. No, you've got to keep pouring it in so you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. John chapter 7, verse 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. But if so, not only do I need someone to help me once in a while, and that will, I'll figure out what I'm trying to say to you is this. It's normal, it's 100% natural, it's 100% understandable and reasonable that you don't understand everything you read.
Right.
Even if you've been saved for 20 years, there's times you just run into a brick wall and you don't understand what in the world is God saying here. Why is this happening? Well, listen, you stay in church. You can ask the preacher. You can ask your Sunday school teacher. You can ask, you know, if you ask around among the brethren. By the way, don't go ask, you know, the. Well, anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Don't go ask the wrong person. You're obviously going to get the wrong answer. But not only do you need to ask or stay in church, but you also need to do what you do know. You need to obey what you do know. Okay, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. So what I do know, preacher, is that I need to do this. Yeah, you've heard that preached about 500 times. You're still not doing it. That's why you don't understand the rest of it.
Right.
Okay, now don't get tight on me again, folks. But I'm telling you what the Bible says. Go to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Luke 16. Y'all were with me until I just said that, but that's okay. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Now this is God saying that. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who shall commit to you trust the true riches? If you have not been, look in verse 12, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, in other words, that which is another man told you, that which another man helped you understand, who shall give you that which is your own? God's not going to give you your own understanding if you're not faithful with what God's given you through another man teaching you. Because he knows you're just going to waste it because you're not faithful with the little stuff. Does that make sense? Everybody listen to me. Okay. If I can't get my son to clean his bedroom, I'm not picking. He does. He's doing better. Believe it or not, he's doing better. If I can't get my daughter, okay, let's use Alyssa instead. If I can't, if Alyssa continues to disobey and do what I tell her not to do, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to yank those car keys away from her little hand. Know why? Because she's not faithful to do what I'm telling her to do right now. She gets out on that road, I can't trust her.
Right.
Because that's a much bigger responsibility than me telling her, you know, hey, take the trash out or sweep the porch or something. Or do something with your dog. Okay, I'm hurrying, but you understand, God's the one that said this, and he said, if you're not faithful in the little things that you do know, I'm not going to keep pouring out more and more understanding unto you, because you're not going to do anything with it.
Right.
I mean, why do you need more understanding? You're not doing anything with what you have. That's what he's saying. And if you can't be faithful in that which is another man's, then I'm certainly not going to give your own.
Yeah.
Amen. You listen to me? So what I need to be more worried about than understanding is I need to get filled. I need to pour it in. God will give me understanding as I do what I do know, as I obey what I do know, and then I get in church and listen and sit under the man of God and the teachers that God has put around me. By the way, God brought you to the church.
Amen.
And God's the one that puts the people in place where they can help you. It's God's will that we do that. We come and we sit and we listen and we learn and we soak, but we don't just leave it. We go do it. We go put it into practice, and then we'll grow. We'll learn more the next time. We'll learn more the next time. That's the idea. But all along, we've got to keep pouring it in. Pouring it in. Pouring it in. Are you listening to me, okay? Go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. This is all still introduction, but that's okay. This is all we're going to get to tonight. Joshua chapter 1. Talking about the blessings of being filled. Joshua chapter 1. The word success is only used once in the Bible. Once. And it doesn't mean what you might think it means. Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. God, hey, hold right there a minute. God holds you accountable for everything in that Bible. Let that sink in for a minute.
That's everything you learn, right?
That's right. Well, yeah, everything. Yeah, but you're responsible to learn the whole thing. You're responsible to fill yourself with all of it. Because that's what God is, he's talking about, to observe to do all things. It says in verse 8, according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. According to this verse, God promises good success. Not just success, but good success to the believer, listen, who's filled with the Word of God. Now, the word success here doesn't mean what you might think. It means skillful, it means prudent, it means wise, expert. Now look, how is his, number one, his mouth is filled with it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Your mouth is filled with it. In other words, you just it's on your tongue, it's on your lips, your mouth is constantly thinking, talking. Your number two, your mind should be filled with it. Not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. I mean, what are we thinking about during the day? What are we thinking about? I promise you, what you're putting in is what you're thinking about. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you're not going to be thinking about the filthy wickedness of the world. What you put in is what is in there, and what you're going to be meditating. That's why the Bible says, don't let it depart out of thy mouth. Keep it, meditate on it day and night. Think about it. Fill your mind with it. And then it says, of course, observe to do. So my mouth should be filled with it, my mind should be filled with it, and my mannerisms should be filled with it. Everything I do, how I act, my behavior. So folks, listen, that doesn't leave anything out. You say, well, that sounds like a pretty fanatic. Well, I think that's what God's trying to say to us. That until we get to the point of being a little bit fanatical about Jesus, then we're not exactly filled. God says, you will prosper and you will have good success. Good success. Now, I want to remind you here quickly, God is not pouring this in. He says, you be filled.
Right.
Amen. He says, you don't let that book depart out of your mouth. You meditate on it. Then you observe to do it. And then thou shalt make thy way. Thou shalt have. So God says, here it is. Here's my word. Here's my book. Here's my power. Here's my spirit. Here's all that you need to have a prosperous, good, successful life as a Christian. Wise and prudent and blessed beyond your wildest dreams. But see, we're not talking about getting rich and famous. We're talking about being blessed by God.
Amen.
Having good. But see, he says now, no alcoholic needs me to go pour it in his mouth. And Christian, I can't come to your house and pour this Bible down your throat either.
Right.
Although I've often thought, but I can't do it. God doesn't even do it. He says, you be filled. You be filled. Just like an alcoholic is filled with wine, you pour it down your throat. You pour it down your heart. You pour it down, you be filled. It's up to you, folks. It's up to us. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1. Blessed. There it is. The blessings of being filled. Psalm 1. By the way, the word blessed means happy. Amen? It means happy. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel. Does anybody want to have a happy life? The man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. See, we've got people out there that are filling, pouring themselves full of the counsel of the ungodly.
Right.
Well, what does so-and-so think about that? What does so-and-so think about that? I really don't care what so-and-so, what does God think about that? I mean, but you don't understand, they're on TV. That's even more reason. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, he loves to pour it down his throat, pour it down in his heart, pour it in his eyes and ears. He loves it, delight in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. Notice verse 3. And he, that man, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall, there's that word again, prosper. Whatsoever he doeth. That does not leave anything out.
Right.
That's a blessing, amen? What does it all revolve around? It revolves around what I do with the law of the Lord, God's word. Well, y'all listen to me tonight, because I'm done now. I'm not going to get to the message. This is just introduction. I've got to pray, and I've got to pour.
Yep.
Pray and pour. Pray is to empty myself of all of me. Present myself a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable. Ask God for His Spirit. But you know, God's just not just going to come open your mouth and pour it down. No. Listen, I ask God for it, but then I get in that book.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like asking God to give you a job and you never fill out applications. That's foolishness.
Right.
Okay? I ask God for His Holy Spirit, like we read in the book of Luke, but then I get in the Bible and I fill my heart, my mind, I fill everything with that book.
Yep.
And then He makes it work. What I fill my inside with begins to show on the outside. You know, people's hair styles begin to change. People's vocabularies begin to change. People's habits begin to change. People's attitudes, oh boy, do they begin to change. But why is that? Because they're pouring the Holy Spirit of God in there, and that what's on the inside begins to show on the outside. Just like, in other words, I could say this tonight. We need to be Bible-holics. A drunkard can't get enough.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not going to ask you if ever been addicted to alcohol, but drunkards cannot get enough.
Right.
They wake up the next day and they go right back to it. No matter how wicked or how painful or how sorrowful or how much they lost or how hurt they are, they go right back to it. They'll lose their house, they'll lose their cars, they'll lose their families, they'll go right back to it. It'd be nice to have some Christians like that with the Bible.
Yep.
But so and so said something about it, so I'm going to put it down. Somebody talked about you being a Bible. Were you one of those Bible thumpers? So I just kind of said, well, maybe I won't read it so much. Man, drunkards, they don't care.
Right.
Yeah. We should be Bible-holics.
Right.
That's what God said. He said, pour it in just like a drunkard pours in wine. I like it. In other words, you can't get too much of it. No matter how long you've been saved, no matter how young or old you may be or feel, you can't get too much of it. But I will tell you this, without it, you lose a whole lot of blessings. And I've got a whole list of blessings. But we'll do that next week. Let's pray. Father, I pray for your help. Pray for your Holy Spirit to work tonight in our invitation. Lord, I just want to encourage. I want to try to help your people see and understand what a beautiful thing your word is and how it changes everything about us, Lord. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you, God, for giving us the Bible, a complete revelation of yourself, Lord, from beginning to end. Lord, I pray that you bless now this invitation. Lord, I know that there's Christians in here today who have not read their Bible until they got to church. Lord, I know it. It's a plague in our society, Father. We don't see the importance. We don't see the value. But Lord, all the while we're drying up inside. Our bones, our spiritual bones are drying up. Our spiritual cheeks are sunken in. And Lord, it's beginning to show on the outside. And Father, I pray that you would help us, help every one of us tonight to be honest with ourselves. Lord, nobody's keeping records but you. You know exactly who is and who isn't pouring this book in their heart. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd convict them, you encourage them, you challenge them, and get back up and get back going again through your word and through your spirit. Bless this invitation now, we pray. Let's all stand together, our heads bowed, eyes closed.